meeting and I couldn't figure out. Yeah, well, I just was talking to Shelly. It was, I guess, over. No, you're good.
Shelly's,
I mean,
still here if you want to talk to her.
Sure. Who is?
Shelly.
She was going out the other direction, so okay. I apologize for that.
I'm sorry you couldn't get in.
How did things go in there? What was there any action taken in the second on item number 10? Do you remember?
Remind
the second
me what
meeting.
Item 10 was.
I think it was the corrective action deal.
Oh, the board. We were just the corrective action got corrected by the SDE. They wanted some changes. We made changes. The SDE wanted that to be approved by our board, so the board approved the corrective action plan.
Okay, I'll get Shelly to send me that.
Yeah, and the corrective action plan, just so you'll know, it wasn't like a global corrective action plan. It was simply regarding a federal funding corrective action plan, which is a routine submission we make. But it's a routine submission we make that the SDE sent back.
Okay, I got you.
And we redid it.
I got you.
I'm really sorry.
No, you're good. I was at that door and came over this way, and because the stream cut out and my journal, I lived down the road, so
I'm happy to get Shelly if you want to sit.
Yeah, no, that's good. I reckon you're the fellow who's created this, you know, amazing enterprise or whatever. So I'm glad I caught you.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, are you paying back the thing that OSDE wants, or are you challenging that? Where's that stand?
Well, we're in discussions with them. The clock just started on the 60 days as of late last week.
Okay.
So we have until March 24 to, you know, demonstrate to SDE that we either owe no money or owe less money than what's been demanded. And we're preparing that presentation, and we hope to engage with the State Department, you know, in the next couple of weeks whenever they're ready.
Okay. Last thing on the I guess it would be on. Yeah, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had.
I don't know if you're recording.
I am. Yeah, I was trying to. I was trying to be transparent on that. Yeah, I know that. Well, I know that a couple things are going on. The legislature is looking at doing some things that might not. You know, you might not love. They're looking at changing the 3-year average, and that's kind of awkward now that you guys have such good enrollment because you guys have been doing distance learning for, you know, about a decade, and you're benefiting from it now. So where do you think? The legislature seems like they're trying to come after you guys. What's your message, and what do you think about some of the stuff they're filing?
We want to work with the legislature. We haven't seen, you know, the particular bills you're referencing, but you know, we think the 3-year high is something that you know, deserves discussion, and we just want to be a part of the discussion and have a seat at the table. So.
What other things do you want people to know about Epic right now? You guys kind of get beat up a lot, and I'm not trying to do that here myself, you know.
Our primary focus is we're trying to work hard to serve all the families that are with us, and that's going to be our primary focus. You know, as far as being beat up, I think anytime you grow like we've grown and disrupt a sector that hasn't been disrupted before, you're going to get a lot of pushback, and we've gotten that since our inception, so
right.
We're used to it, and I think we're just going to continue to tell the truth and put forward the facts, and we feel comfortable we'll be vindicated and we'll be here for a long time.
The last thing I kind of got is that you know, there's a big question, I guess, court case still pending on whether the records related to the Learning Fund should be public records. And I get it. I mean, I usually err on the side of public records. I'm a journalist.
Understood.
On the other hand, you know, I run a nonprofit, and I'm, you know, have contractual agreements and things like that. So what do you tell people who might look at that and say, well, they're not going to turn it over. There must be something wrong in those records. What is the, you know, professional reason for you guys needing to kind of keep that behind a closed door?
We've actually offered to turn it over. We wanted to make sure that that was judged by a private standard, not a public one.
Yeah.
Because those records have been declared private and managed in a way that was compliant private and not public compliant, which is a different set of rules. I think our objection is we don't want a retroactive ruling that changes the rules after the fact. And then that makes us look like we didn't follow the rules because we did.
Yeah.
So we've offered to let people see the records under a protective order, and they weren't interested in that. But I think from a standpoint of public transparency, you know, we want to increase transparency as well. And we don't have anything to hide with the Learning Fund, and we're working on ways that we can increase that transparency.
Okay. Anything else you want to add that I didn't get to ask you about? I hate I grabbed you as you were walking out.
No, it's okay. I feel bad you didn't get in the building.
No, I just ran over because Megan lives in Edmond, and I live down the street. And I asked her how the story was going, and she said, well, the stream cut out, and she was texting with Shelly. And I was like, well, I'll just drive over there. And I was trying to go in that door first. I came to this one, and I called Shelly trying to figure out which door I go in.
I got you.
So
We just were late, but
No worries. You're probably ready for a bunch of this investigation stuff to be over, right? I mean, this has been like 7-8 years, right?
Gosh, yeah. I mean, nobody likes to being investigated is not fun, but I think it's when your budget's grown like ours has grown, then it's sort of kind of comes along with the territory, I guess.
Have you guys learned anything in the pandemic in terms of how to help more students? I mean, you got kids who probably weren't maybe the traditional EPIC student.
Yeah,
and now they're, now they look at you guys and say, well, we didn't want to do online education, but we've got to do it somewhere.
Yeah, we have some families that have been with us. We have some families that are sort of, that reluctantly came to EPIC because this is a new way of doing education. And we've learned a lot. I mean, this has been hard on everybody in education to adjust. And, a big part of our model is meeting face-to-face. And certainly that's, although we do it less than a traditional model, we still do it. And so to do that in a way that's safe for students and teachers, we've had to adjust and learn a lot. I think we've just tried to improve our technology and improve our automation in response to it and just do the best we can.
So. If there was one thing the state of Oklahoma could do a better job of in education, what would that be? For a better job for kids, for everybody, for the system?
Embrace innovation. Don't fight it.
All right. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Oh, let me give you my card.